The fourth Sunday of Easter is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Throughout the readings, hymns, and prayers for this Sunday, we encounter time and again Jesus as our shepherd and ourselves as the sheep of his flock. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel lesson shifts from the historical recounting of the events following the resurrection to Christological reflection on the person and work of Christ. The goal is to assist us as we seek to understand the risen Christ as our shepherd, as well perhaps as to look at ourselves and understand what kind of flock we are to be. In each year of the liturgical cycle, we have 3 years liturgical cycle. In each year, the liturgical cycle, on the fourth Sunday, the gospel is always taken from the 10th chapter of John, where Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd. This is Jesus' fourth I Am claim in John's gospel. In the gospel of John, Jesus makes seven famous statements, beginning with the words, I am. Each of them reflects something said about God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. The Bible depicts the church in many different ways, but let me just give you three of them. It depicts the church as a family, it depicts the church as a fellowship, and it depicts the church as a flock. So, a family, a fellowship, and a flock. And Psalm 103 says, we are his people and the sheep of his pastures. So, we are sheep and he is our shepherd. We don't like to be called sheep, I guess. But this is the reality, what the Bible says. Because sheep are considered to be dumb animals. They can't think for themselves. They always follow the master. They always follow the shepherd. So we are the sheep of our God and our shepherd. I think that it is fair to say that most of us do not have much experience with shepherds or with sheep, though I think some of us do. When Jesus spoke of shepherds and sheep, he was speaking to people who had everyday experiences with lambs, sheep, goats, and kids. Even if they made their living as a carpenter or fisherman, they knew or watched shepherds all the time, moving their sheep and goats from the pens to the fields and back. It is important to recognize that this passage not only offers us a functional description of what God in Jesus will do for us. Jesus is also making a very important statement. He is not only describing what a good shepherd does or will do. Jesus is making the claim that he is the good shepherd. He's not saying, I am like a good shepherd. No, he's saying, I am the good shepherd. Therefore, it must have seemed quite strange and startling for Jesus' friends and followers to hear Jesus tell them that he was the Good Shepherd. After all, they knew who the Good Shepherd was. God. The Hebrew scriptures were filled with images and metaphors of God as the shepherd of the chosen people. The psalm appointed for this Sunday, Psalm 23, is perhaps one of the best known references. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalm paints the picture of a loving, caring God, shepherd, providing food, comfort, and shelter. They knew that they were his people and the sheep of his pasture. The prophet Ezekiel had told them that God was angry with Israel's shepherds who took advantage of and abandoned their sheep, God declared, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. That like giving them rest and peace. How could Jesus say that he was the good shepherd? Are we to conclude that he was, in fact, God, whom David describes in Psalm 23? Psalm 23 is quite personal. There are no references to we, us, or they, but only my, me, I, and you. This is David's personal testimony, his personal experience with God. What is so beautiful about this psalm is that it covers all of life. With simple beauty, it speaks of green pastures and still waters, as well as dark valleys and enemies and adversities, troubles of life. David takes the gentle picture of a shepherd with his sheep to describe the relationship God has with us and we with God. This psalm ultimately points to Jesus' sacrifice as the final embodiment of God's love for us. Our gospel says the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He gives his life for his sheep. Jesus didn't die in vain. He died to secure the salvation of his people, of his sheep, those who would come to faith. David in the Old Testament, Peter and John in the New Testament this morning, tell us how to be fearless in adversity. They tell us that even in the valley of the shadow of death, they didn't dread the distress they would face or cringe in the face of crisis. How do you fight fear when you don't know what's going to happen next? And your imagination is working overnight. It's a kind of a negative meditation. You take something and it takes you the entire day to figure it out, or to just go on, and that's called depression. It takes the form of depression, negative meditation, focusing on something negative. How did they do it? How did David, John, Peter do it? Today's readings tell us that their confidence came from three sources. Number one, abiding in God's presence. In Psalm 23, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. First, he speaks of God's nearness, his presence. Psalm 91, I guess we love that psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We need to dwell in the presence of God. Then only we can abide. Dwelling and visiting is different. We visit, maybe probably on Sundays, and then we go on our way. But dwelling, living, you know, is different than visiting something. When you step into your own dark valley, don't turn to drugs or resort to drink or find some other substitute that you think will help you go through this valley in your life. If you read the life of David, it took almost 13 years for him to become king. But for 13 years, he had to suffer. He had to suffer. He had to run for his life from Saul. All you need is your good shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep and they know him. There is a mutual bond of love and intimacy. Our first reading from the book of Acts tells us about Peter and John going through the valley of death. The passage read to us this morning follows the rest of Peter and John in the temple. The precipitating causes are a lame man's healing. You remember the lame was sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple and they went and healed him. And then Peter's public proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The positive reception of his message riled the temple authorities, agitated the temple authorities, promoting them to arrest Peter and John for investigation. Our reading features the apostles' response to that investigation. The authorities gathered for the investigation were no ordinary people. They were the Supreme Court of Jewish society of those days, known as Sanhedrin. Their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. In short, Acts chapter 4 verse 5 and 6 sets the scene for a serious examination by Jerusalem's foremost leaders. Our reading says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," Peter and John were in the presence of God, who was present in the form of the Holy Spirit. We need to dwell in the presence of the Lord by reading and meditating upon the Word of God. There is no valley, no matter how dark, that you will go through alone. He will not leave you. That is His promise. Because the Word of God works on principles. If you dwell, you will abide in the Word of God. Second, experiencing God's power. Psalm 23, David said, he had no fear in adversity because of the comfort of God's power, protecting him from that which could ruin him. And you need not fear. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, as says St. John. A reading from the book of Acts says, when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst. Who are the prisoners? Peter and John. And they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? The temple officials haven't considered how the power of the Holy Spirit can change simple, uneducated fishermen into eloquent witnesses to the resurrection. They still haven't figured out that this movement isn't the result of any human effort or design. It's the work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, no matter what happens. Third, experiencing God's leading. Your staff comforts me, David said. He was referring to the shepherd's crook with its hook on one end. A good shepherd would use it to guide the sheep, lest they stray away. Just a gentle tap of the staff on the lamb's side would move them back into the fold. And the crook would rescue a sheep from a place where it might have fallen, the hook around its neck. David felt comforted by his shepherd, who was guiding his steps, making sure that he made it through the darkness safely. He stayed close and trusted in God's protection and guidance all the way, all because he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing, or I have everything that I need. In our first reading, Peter was led by the Spirit as he answered the Sanhedrin's question. They wanted to know by what power or in what name they were acting. Peter answers that they were acting by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It was Jesus' power that healed the lame man. Peter reminds the council and the formerly lame man in standing in their midst proof of Jesus' power to heal and to save. When you find yourself weak, in the dark, uncertain of the future, when all the colors has drained out of life and your soul is downcast, look up. Fix your eyes on Jesus, your good shepherd. Fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. Stick close to him. Trust that he knows the way through this valley and will see you safely through. He is the high priest who knows our weaknesses, and he's been there. Jesus is the good shepherd of Psalm 23. And Ezekiel 34, the leader whose walk and life are for the sheep and their well-being. He is the right way, the true way to enter into that green pasture, that fullness of life, in the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.